Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, in verse 2, he says, though Jesus himself didn't really baptize anybody, but his disciples did the baptizing. And therefore, Jesus, in verse 3, left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Now, in Proverbs 11 and verse 30, it's a beautiful verse. It says, the fruit of the righteous, and the fruit of the righteous is the what comes out of the righteous, their mannerisms, their speech, the way they treat people, the way they conduct their lives. Everything about what's inside the righteous, and the righteous is the saved person. Who's ever saved is considered in the numbers of the righteous. What comes out of them is a tree of life for other people, a tree that produces fruit. The fruit is for other people to partake of. And so, but the fruit of the righteous, what comes out of their life, is a tree of life for other people. And then he who wins souls is wise. It is great wisdom to be a soul winner, winning souls. And for a soul winner like Jesus, Jesus is a great soul winner, the best there ever was. He's an awesome soul winner. And not only in meetings where there perhaps are 1,000 people listening to him on a seashore, but one-on-one with people, Jesus is an awesome soul winner. And receptivity is what a soul winner looks for. If you're a soul winner, and so many of you here are, if you're a soul winner, you look for what, you look for receptivity with the people that surround you on a daily basis, the people that you work with, the people that you may have as clients, the people that you interact with on a daily basis. People from all walks of life that you encounter throughout the day and the week, you look for receptivity. You're looking for that open door. You're looking for that moment where it's just where they seem to set themselves up and they're ready to hear something. And receptivity. Now the air, when we talk about the air, we talk about the prince and who is the authority of the air, the atmosphere that is so crowded with demonic activity, is always looking to distract people and to cause people to enter into controversy. That's why sometimes when you're talking to somebody about the Lord, they always bring up stupid things. You know, you're talking to them about the gospel and they want to know, well, who did Cain and Abel marry? Did he marry his sisters? And they want to, you know, they want to go into stuff like that. They want to just distract you from the gospel, distract you from what's important, and get you into little things about, well, how come how old is the world? Is it really 10 million years old, or is it only 6,000 years old? They want to argue about things, and that controversy comes from the air, as well as distractions that come from the air when you're trying to talk to them about something, and they always go off on a different topic. You like, all of a sudden, this person has ADD in front of me. They can't stay on one subject for very, very long. They're all over the place. And that, of course, is part of the warfare that we go through when we're trying to witness to people. But receptivity is what the soul winner is looking for. Jesus is looking for receptivity. And when he doesn't find it, he's going to leave. He's not going to stand around and argue about silly things like, how many people did you baptize? And did John baptize more? Does that mean John's greater than you, or are you greater than John? And on it goes, and trying to pit one group against another group and so forth. Jesus is not going to stay around for that. It's like, okay, time to move on to the next door. Time to go to the next village. Time to go to the next place. These people are not receptive at this point in their lives. Maybe they will be in the future. Maybe a crisis will hit. Maybe something else will happen and their hearts will be open and they'll be ready to hear. But at this time, I'm not going to waste my time trying to and living in controversy with these people and just arguing about the same things over and over again when it's clear to me that they're not receptive. And soul winners know that. And we leave them in the hands of God, and we maybe have another opportunity in the future when perhaps they're more receptive. But at this point, they are not open to hearing. An open heart is like what's seen in Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. It says this, and I'm just going to give you this verse just to contrast what we're talking about, that a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was the seller of purple. Purple was a big deal back then. The purple dye made from crushed worms and stuff. That stuff was in demand all over the world. And so they would, a person who sold it, who produced it, who was involved in that industry, was well-to-do. They made a lot of money doing it. So she was a seller of purple. She was a businesswoman, the city of Thyatira, and who worshipped God. She was a Gentile who worshipped the Jewish God, Yahweh. And the Lord opened her heart, in this verse, to listen to the things spoken by Paul. The Lord opened her heart. And Paul was not preaching. This word spoken here has to do with conversation. He was having a conversation with her. Maybe he met her in the marketplace. And he just stopped and he began to talk with her. They had a conversation. He discovered that she was a worshiper of Yahweh, and he gave her the news about Jesus Christ and gave her the gospel, and her heart was open to hear it. She was receptive. And that's what the soul winner is always looking for, that open heart. That person who God has gone before you and has opened the heart of somebody to hear and to respond from a conversation. And because that's what the soul winner is looking to have with people, just a conversation. And just give me a couple of minutes to explain to you what Jesus did for you. So the Holy Spirit touched her heart and she became a believer. And this worked out well for Paul and the rest of the missionaries because she had a big house and she invited them to come and stay there. And she was wealthy, so she had plenty of groceries. And it worked out well for the missionaries. God made a provision for them right away as soon as they got to Thyatira. And so, but this was something the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit touches people, prepares people, and opens people's hearts, not forcibly, but he is there working with them, drawing them to be ready to hear you when you come to speak to them. The Holy Spirit does that work. He is the great evangelist in John, the 14th chapter. He is the evangelist of the world. He has been sent here to go across the world and prepare people to hear the gospel. And rejecting that work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and some people do, the Holy Spirit works on people, and he doesn't pick and choose. He's interested in all men getting saved, and so he's available to work in the lives of all men, preparing them to hear the gospel. And so he's not picking and choosing some to go to heaven and some to go to hell, as the doctrines of some are. But this is the work of the Holy Spirit who is advancing his ministry upon you. And you can still get stubborn and rebellious and dig in your heels and say, no, I'm not going to be a believer. I'm not going to give up my lifestyle. I'm not going to give up my sinful ways. I'm not going to do whatever. And dig in your heels and resist the Spirit of God and resist the grace of God. You are certainly with your free will able to do that. Jesus warned about that in Matthew chapter 12. He said that this is the unpardonable sin, is when the Holy Spirit moves upon you to draw you to Christ and you reject it. That's the only sin that's not forgivable in the entire universe, is rejecting Christ. and resisting the Holy Spirit and rejecting Christ. And so that's the only sin that's not forgivable. Every other sin that a man could possibly commit is forgivable and has been placed upon the cross. And the provision has already been made for that through Jesus Christ. But Jesus would not be trapped in the controversy. And so he moved on. In verse 4, he tells us, John explains to us, the writer of this gospel, explains to us that he needs to go through Samaria. He's leaving the Pharisees. He's leaving the controversy. He's going to go off and find more receptive people to talk to. And so at this point, he feels led of God to go through Samaria. Now, this is an interesting thing because the Holy Spirit puts it upon his heart to do so, and he is sensitive to that, and he's going to go where the Spirit leads him. But Israel is 120 miles long, roughly, from north to south. And sometimes they call it Palestine. You know where that comes from, right? Palestine? It comes from the Philistines. The Philistines. And probably most Jews don't like calling it Palestine, since the Philistines weren't exactly the biggest fans of the Jews. But somehow over the years it got to be called Palestine, and a lot of people use it. But it's probably not correct. It's Israel. And 120 miles long, roughly. And Galilee, the county, or we could call it a county or province of Galilee, is in the north. And then in the middle is Samaria, and to the south is Judea. So we have three provinces, Galilee, Samaria, and Judea at this time in history. And the Samaritans, of course, are in the middle. The Samaria is in the middle. And they are hated by the Jews and avoided by the Jews. And the reason they are is because in the 700 BC, there was an occupation by the Assyrians into Samaria, and they took many of them captive and transplanted many of the Gentiles into Samaria, who through history intermarried with the Jews. And so in Samaria, you have a great number of people who are half Gentile, half Jew. And as far as the Orthodox Jew would go, if you're half Gentile, you are unclean and you're not to be spoken to, and your property isn't even to be touched. And so they had strong feelings against the Samaritans. They hated them, and they because of the intermarriage that went on. And of course, down through history, once the country had been dispersed by the Romans in 70 AD, then the Samaritans, Galileans, and the Judeans are tossed all over the world from 70 AD up until 1948, when nobody knows where they came from. You don't know who came from Samaria, who came from Galilee, who came from Judea. Nobody has this genealogy anymore. So you never know.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993. Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated paying for service that never really seems to work? Bug Out Pest